I hope you can sort of sit back, enjoy, get your cup of coffee, get your cup of tea, get your whatever snacks you have around you. Can I just say thank you, first of all, to a bunch of people, a whole bunch of people. Just under 40 people came to our prayer summit, our first prayer summit of the year, and they so enjoyed it, and they so loved praying for each other. They asked, they said, hey, can we do this more often? And somebody said, hey, can we do this weekly? Can we do, well, maybe not weekly, but we're going to have another one of these right at the end of February, February 21st, if you'd like to look ahead. We love to pray here at Church on the Rock. We pray first. Second thing, this is the last message of this series about Mouth on Fire. And next week, we're going to be doing a whole new series called Trials and Errors. Trials and Errors. And it's going to be a fun one as we try and figure out when we go through trials in our lives and it just feels like errors come all around us, what do we do? Our first sermon, we're going to talk about where they come from. We're going to talk about one very specific ones dealing with our health. We're going to be talking about what God is doing in the midst of it. So if you ever wonder, if you ever question what is happening when your world starts to fall apart, make sure you tune in these next 4 weeks to Trials and Errors. All right, I'm going to pray and dig into God's word. So come and join me in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I love you. I so love you. Jesus, thank you for dying and rising again and being my advocate in front of the throne of the Holy Father. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in me and guiding me and empowering me. Thank you. Thank you, God. God, for all that you are. And Father, I pray for those who are on the way that aren't there yet into your family. I pray you'll draw them into your family, God, today. I pray for those of us who know you, Lord, I pray you'll challenge us, but encourage us. Give us creative ideas of how we can live out our righteousness here and now, even right today, even right this morning. We ask this in Jesus' holy, holy name. Amen. Amen. I want a little shout out too. Thank you for everyone who shares our morning service on our Facebook site. Two clicks to share. All right, so this series that we're ending up now, I was just sensing God wanting to say, I want you to live with fewer regrets in your life, just fewer regrets in your life. And we said, okay, what kind of things rips apart families? What are the things that cause so many troubles in a life? Well, one of them is just the simple things that we say. I know of families who have not spoken to each other for decades. A family ripped apart for decades by just a few sentences being said. James says this is, our mouths are on fire, and they create a whole world of trouble. And so before we say things, I want you to live fewer regrets. And so thank you for hanging in through this series. And this, I hope, is the payoff as we get the last one in. Week one, we talked about the words are disproportionate in their effect. It's just a little spark sets on up a whole fire. One sentence can do so much damage. And the book of James actually said this, our words are set on fire by hell itself. You go, okay, well, that's an overstatement. But no, he's not overstating it. He's saying sometimes the things we say are simple words, but there is a whole evil world out there that will take it and plant it in somebody's soul. And so it creates a life of lies that happen again and again. So we just need to slow down. And one of the ways that the book of James tells us to do that is before we reply, before we speak, to be slow to speak, but to slow down and ask to understand. So help me understand. Oh, I'm trying to get this. Is this what you mean? Just to slow down and ask to understand. Week number two, we focused on what the Bible talked about, complaining. It seems to be a national sport in Canada. You hang around at a Timmy's long enough, and you just know that there's going to be complaints all around you, behind the counter, in the seats around. Like, what else do we do to be able to complain? So the Bible says very specifically, don't complain about anything. And you go, well, how do you do that? And so this is what we landed on. We landed on this. If you can change your circumstances, do something. So I can just imagine somebody out in the cold going, I'm so cold. I'm so cold. It's so cold without a coat. It's so cold without a coat. You know, a passerby would go, put your coat on, because you can do something about that, okay? So don't complain about something if you can do something about it. But if you can't change your circumstances, and there are many things in our lives that we just can't change, change your perspective. Say, God, where are you in this whole mess? You are present somewhere in this mess. And if you're present there, what are you saying to me at this moment about this thing I just can't change? And so there's this spiritual discipline of attentiveness. Where are you, God? And how are you redeeming the situation? Week 3, we talked about gossip. Gossip. How sometimes as we share negative information about other persons, if we're not a part of the problem or a part of the solution, the Bible actually calls that gossip. So what's the solution to gossip? Simply this. Be courageous. Be courageous and do truth and grace face to face. Truth and grace face to face. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to come and talk to you face to face, not to everyone else, not even for prayer requests first. Don't mention names, just truth and grace face to face. Now we got a last one. I have to admit, this has got to be my favorite one. It deals with a spiritual gift of mine, and it's tough to wrap this one in one sermon. But it reminds me, to start us off, it reminds me of a youth pastor. A youth pastor, somebody that's worked with youth for a lot of years, even more years than I have. I'm going to mention his name. His name is Marv Penner. Marv Penner is a friend of mine, and he is a youth specialist. He's been sort of this veteran youth worker. I won't call him old because he's not that much older than me, and so that would not be good for me. But I remember when somebody asked him this. They said, okay, Marv, you've worked with young people enough. Isn't it time to pass on the torch? Isn't it time to pass on the, you've heard that. Let's pass on the torch. And I sort of looked over, you know, okay, Marv, what are you going to say? This is what he said. I love it. He said, I will never pass on this torch. We go, what? And he says, I'm going to take my torch and light everybody else's torch. I'm going to light fires of inspiration. I'm going to light fires of motivation everywhere I go. And in my dying breath, they're going to have to wrestle that torch out of my hand because I'm going to light so many fires with it. And I go, yeah, bring it on. Yeah, that's what, yeah. I'm going to go and light as many fires as I can. And it brought me back to somebody's sign on their desk. I remember this sign, and it's affected me. It stayed in my mind for years. And it says this, only a fire can light a fire. Now, that's negative, right? That could be negative. Or guess what? It could be completely and utterly positive. If I have a fire for God, if I have a fire for something else, I'm going to light other people's torches. But guess what? I can't light somebody else's torches if I have no fire. If it's just an idea, if it's just something I kind of do on the side, if it's something like, well, I grew up with. But if I have a fire, I can light other people's fires. Only fire can light a fire. So if you by a mere few sentences can tear apart somebody's life, guess what? I believe by a few sentences, you can encourage other people. We talked about words having disproportionate effect. Guess what? Encouragement can have that same disproportionate effect. Guess what? Inspiration can have that same disproportionate effect. Often we don't hear about it, right? Often we don't hear about it. But I've lived long enough to know and have heard encouragements back years ago. I remember we had somebody come into Church on the Rock who was a missionary in Turkey. And, you know, he came and gave cool, cool stories about how he was, you know, sharing his faith there and how he changed his world. And then he said, Dave, do you remember me? And I'm trying to remember. No. Especially because, like, he had, like graying hair. And I go, well, no. Like, were we, like, class? No, he says, I was a student when you were a youth speaker. And I go, oh, I'm that old. I go, oh, okay. And he says, you know what? You just gave some stories about how God used you. And he said, God got that in my heart. He said, I wanted to be used like that. He says, so I started to do the things that you did. And guess what? It worked too. And now I've given my life to serve Jesus. And I said, well, How long did we hang out? I just heard you give one talk. That was it. One talk. Words are sometimes disproportionate in goodness. In goodness. I'm reconnected with an old friend from my first youth group. All right. Hey, Amy. Amy's a part of our discipleship group, which is wild. Anyway, I remember seeing a young lady of 19, and she was an encourager, and she was an encourager. Everybody knew she was an encourager. But guess what? I actually said the words. Hey, do you know you have the gift of encouragement? Everybody else saw it, right? It's not like it was just like normal. It's like, duh. Of course she's an encourager. But I had the courage to share the words. And words are disproportionate in effect. And she just was telling me in our last discipleship group, she has remembered that and sort of lived through that encouragement because of a good thing. A good thing that we can plant in people's minds and hearts at critical times. Sometimes people's lives are open like windows, and then they close sometimes, but you don't know when the window's open. And as we give encouragement and support, it is amazing. The evil one can cause negative words that will haunt us for a lifetime. He is called the accuser in the Bible. That's his name. He's accuser. By the way, he doesn't need help, okay? He doesn't need help to accuse other people. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit in us. And he is far more powerful than the evil one. He can take words that will last a lifetime and inspire us. Inspire us. Now, you go, okay, Dave, thank you. It's the end of the message. I just want to camp on it for a bit more. You know that negativity is easy. Easy. Some people think, well, they don't know about this problem. No, it's like so easy to be critical. I'll have somebody come up to me and say, Dave, I've got a criticism. You know what's in the back of my mind? I'll go, okay, which one of the things are you going to mention that I'm doing wrong? It's not new news to me that something didn't work. It's not new news to me that this failed or we didn't quite get this one right. I didn't know about that one. No, negativity and being critical is easy schmeasy. All right, so I teach a course at Tyndale Seminary. And part of the course is teaching young seminarians how to speak. All right, so some of them get up front, and they've got 10 minutes to give a little message. I help them map out how the message is supposed to go. I tell them how, you know, what points, and they just take a Bible story and give it. I have a little card that where I'm giving like feedback, right? And I have to give, it's a course. They're getting marks for it, so I need to give them some pointers. Well, some of them, God bless them, you know, I'm going, oh, I'm writing, you know, point one, point two, and point three. I'm turning the card over, and I'm going, wow. I'm counting the number of times I go, wow, well, we're up past 30 ums here. You know, and I'm doing the little tick thing. I'm going, wow, get to the point. You know, you need to get to the point before the 10 minutes is done, right? And, you know, what was the point? You know, I've got a card with literally 24 things wrong with the message, right? Negativity is easy. I could get somebody that has no training off the street and sit there, and they fill out 20 of the 24. They're going, wow, that's not working. And they know why. So it's not because I have superior brain power that I can pick out negative things or critical things. It's easy, smeasy to be negative. Of course they have things to work on. But you know what? Guess what? If I give them that card, could you imagine that? Your first time you're speaking at seminary, and the professor gives you the card, 24 things. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go, I'm not going to speak again. I'm dropping out of the course. I'll never do this again. Right? Right? You just kind of jump out of your chair with great motivation. What they need to know is what they have going for them. They need to know one thing that they have something going. Of course they need to know something they need to work on. But even more important, they need to know they've got something working for them to be able to give them the motivation to keep on going. And so I put that card aside, and I start working with them. I love your enthusiasm. You are, you are so enthusiastic. Next time, use the Bible. All right, let's work on that the next time. Next time we can use the Bible. Awesome. You see, the thing is, critical and negative people think that they've come up with something that no one else has ever thought of. Critical and negative people think that they're sometimes just giving you information. They have this false sense of intelligence, over-intelligence. I have seen something that you will never think of, that I'm going to inform you of the things that you are doing wrong. Can I tell you something about words? And this, I just want to slow down. I want you to get this. Words do more than inform. Could you say that with me? Words do more than inform. They also motivate you or demotivate you. So not words don't just tell you the facts. They either give you a fire in your belly to do more, or they just discourage you from trying to do anything. Howard Hendricks, a seminary professor down in Dallas, I sort of grew up with him as a teenager and beyond. I listened to all his talks. He so influenced me. What an amazing man. What a legacy he's given. And here's a Howard Hendricksism. He said that discouragement is like leukemia to the soul. It's this thing that rots your bones away that says, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And so you have no motivation to do it. And so you get no encouragement back. And so discouragement is leukemia to the soul. And then I remember him giving this talk, and this is what he said. He said, there's negative people in my life. He said, there's negative people and critical people in my life. He said, and I stay away from them like the plague. He says, I can't get near them because I don't want to catch that because it's going to demotivate me. It's going to make me put in a spiral. I stay away from negative, critical people like the plague. But somebody that can speak life into me, he said, I'll travel to them on my own dime. I'm going to fly somewhere. If they can speak life into me and give me motivation, inspire me to do more, guess what? I'm going to do more. And I know what some of you wonderful people are going to say who have a bit of a critical spirit. But this is like constructive criticism, right? And it is true. There is sometimes constructive criticism. Can I say this, though? Not all criticism is constructive. Some of it is destructive. Some of it is tremendously uninspiring, tremendously discouraging, and you rip our souls apart. So ask yourself, before you speak, don't say anything. Be slow to speak. Remember the James thing? Okay, how can I say something that can still inspire, still give energy to the people around me? The word encouragement in the Greek is parakaleo, which means para is beside and kaleo is to call. So I'm going to call you beside me. So what it is actually taking initiative to encourage somebody. Is, hey, come here. I'm going to bring you. So I'm taking initiative to do that. And what's this initiative to call beside? As the information says, it's to comfort, to motivate. So let's read a verse about this. This is such a deep verse, such a little one. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, Paul is doing like a catch-up list, like a laundry list at the back of 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, encourage one another. So in that, okay, so call people to your side. Take initiative to call people to your side, to motivate them, to comfort them. And you do it with one another. And guess what that means? It's not only the pastor's job. You go to church to parakaleo each other. Call, hey, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? That's what church is. We one another each other in encouragement. And then just in case somebody tries to think, okay, but that has to mean something else, harsher. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up. So if I'm going to call you to my side and I tear you down, that is not encouragement. It's actually building you up. I have to think about how can I build you up. And then look what Paul does. It's awesome. Just in fact, as you are doing. Guess what Paul just did there? He encouraged them. He said, listen, you're doing this. Why did he say that? Why did he add that? He wanted to motivate them. He wanted to inspire them. He wanted to say, listen, you need to do this, but guess what? You're already doing it. I'm just reminding you. And that's so gentle. Isn't that so beautiful? I love it. Encouragement is about building other people's up. It's other focused. Paul says this again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29, it says, "Do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths." Now, I always thought that was the swear verse, right? So this, you have this verse there, and you get the swear jar, and you put the coins in it, right? So don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth. But what's unwholesome? He's going to define what wholesome is and what unwholesome is. Listen as the verse continues. But, so now he's going to define it, only what is helpful. So wholesome words are helpful for building others up according to their needs. Okay, so what is wholesome words? What are wholesome words? These are words of life. Words of life, things that are wholesome, actually are helping you. Am I going to help you? Am I going to build you up? And is it going to be according to your needs? Not what I need. Not what I need from you for at this moment. It's you. It's about you. This is all about you. That might benefit those who listen. These are what building words are. These are what words of life. Encouragement is taking an initiative to build up, to inspire our brothers and sisters. I want to build you up. I want to inspire you. I want to give words of life. Here is a picture of an alive local church. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. There's one verse pastors love. This is a verse pastors love because this is the one that says, you see, the Bible says you got to go to church, all right? So we quote this one a lot. Here we go. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So, okay, I got to try and motivate people. Like the wonderful people in this room, how can I motivate each one of you to doing love in good works? And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, all right? That's the verse we like to say, go to church. But, here's the but, encourage one another. Encourage one, especially now that the day is returning near. In other words, Jesus is coming soon. We have discouraged people. We have people going in all different directions. If the whole church can one another each other and encourage and build each other up, wouldn't that be amazing? If we could hold together and keep each other alive spiritually, it's not just the pastor job. It is an amazing thing. I read a story a while back. It's about Kew Creek in Pennsylvania. There's an old coal mine with some miners in there, and they got trapped. And there are 9 miners. It was a very tight space. And a source of water started to come in. And this was like cold water, underground water. And it was just running by them. And they were going to freeze to death. They just knew hypothermia. It was going to kill them. And so what they did, this is the great quote. They said they all decided, we're going to either live together or die together. And so they all got together and hugged each other. And they did what the penguins do, right? They have some people in the middle and they move them out into the outside and have some people in the middle. And they just kept on keeping each other alive for 77 hours. Not 24, not 48. 77 hours. They decided, we're going to live together or die together. And that's the local church. Boom. That is the local church. This is why, can I just say, it just kills me that we can't meet together. It kills me that we can't actually be together physically. And man, I miss our people setting up and sharing communion and welcoming and all that stuff. And we're going to obey the government. Okay, we're going to do that. But while we're doing that, and a little bit depressed because we can't, we can still text. In fact, you can still text out encouragement. You can pick up a phone, and when we're able, we can visit people. Perhaps words of life can still come and go all around each other. Maybe we can do that. How do we do that? How do we do that real quickly? First of all, there's got to be a change of mindset. First of all, it's about caring about growing about others. We got to come and say, okay, I'm here to help other people grow. Now, it's interesting when you're a new Christian, you go to church to find out new things. And that's great. You do that. And then as you grow a little bit in your faith, you go, hold on. I'm here to worship. I'm here to worship to find out new things. Yeah, I want to grow. I want to do that. But then there's something happens. When you start to mature as a Christian, there's a switch that happens. And the switch is, I'm here for one another. Oh, yeah. I'm here to get some things from the sermon. I'm here to worship. But I'm also here to one another. I have to have this care about the growth of others. And so the next thing, how do we do this? God, give me eyes to see what you're building in others. Help me see what you're doing in other people, because I want to take that and come alongside you, Holy Spirit, to be able to see what you're doing. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a good friend, Bruce, nicknamed Bruce the Moose, big guy. And he was put down by a lot of people. He was not a popular kid in any way. I remember one snowy night we're walking, we're going to a variety store. And as we're going, he said, hey, Dave, is there anything good about me? Yeah. And at that moment, I knew the longer I took to answer that question, the worse it was going to be, right? So, oh, Bruce, there's lots of things. The other part of my mind is going, what's really good about him? Right? And I came back and I put in as many words as I could. Oh, Bruce, you're just so much fun. Do you remember when we did this and when we did this? That was so much fun. And you're a loyal friend. And when I hit you in the face with an ice ball, like, you turn right back and hit me in the face with an ice ball. There's this sense of loyalty. And anyway, and I could just see him go, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. So there's this encouragement where I go, with eyes of faith, I'm going to see what God is doing in you. I'm going to call it out. I'm just going to call it out. I'm going to look at your life with eyes of faith. I'm just going to call it out. Or we're running out of time, so I'm just going to move ahead to... I got to give you one last story in this whole thing. And it's an old story, but it's... I got to do it again because it's so good. In my first church, there was a teenager. Her name was Laura. And Laura was sort of shipped around to various foster homes. She didn't have a lot of social skills. She didn't dress like everybody else did. She wore different shoes and things of different colors. She would do things like she would start picking her nose in the middle of a message. And, of course, all the junior highs would look and go, oh, so, no. Let her get that. Hey, Lord, you need to step out for a bit, okay? And she'd step out for a bit and gouge away and then finally come back. And you got it? Okay, good. That's thanks. Good, Laura. Okay. Anyway, so that's sort of, Laura. God bless her. And we had a student leadership team like we do here at Church on the Rock, like a doulos. And I said, doulos, who could we love in our youth group in a very specific and targeted way? And they all said, let's just love Laura. Let's love Laura. And so one of the ways we did it, we had like an encouragement jar, encouragement tub kind of thing. But we did very specifically, we had little mailboxes and we wrote the kids' names on them. And you'd write an encouragement note and throw in the mailbox. And I said, okay, everybody on the leadership team, you need to encourage Laura. And the first thing they go, what do we say? What do we say? And so we just started to say, let's try and notice the good things that are in Laura. Don't fake her out. Don't lie to her. But actually ask God to say, what's good about her? And so they started, and then he started to share ideas back and forth. And I remember, okay, you know what? She laughs at all the jokes. I like your laugh, Laura. And she plays hard when we play the game. Thank you for playing on, can you be on my team? So they shared all ideas. I just remember the first day we did that. All the leadership teams put in notes in her mailbox. And her mailbox was like full of all these things. And she came, and her eyes just got really big. And she came over like a little hamster and grabbed them and went into the corner, and she read each one, and I got to go. The leadership team was going good. I said, now you got to do the same thing next week. Next week? Yeah. Share ideas, whatever you do. We're going to keep on doing this. So for months, the leadership team just kept on pouring encouragement of things they truly saw. They asked God for eyes to see what was good in Laura. Well, after a while, Laura started to settle down a bit and actually didn't run out of the room all the time. And she smiled a lot more. It was good. I remember being asked to Laura's mom's house and for a meal, and I have a spiritual gift of eating, so I went there, and I thought, okay, so I'm eating, and she said, you know what, the youth group has changed Laura's life, and I go, no, you're just a great foster mom, it's you, and she said, no, it was really the youth group, and I said, well, what's this about, and she said, come. And as we're walking down the hallway, she said the social worker was trying to figure out why Laura has stayed at this house longer than anywhere else. And we went to her room, and it was a small little room. There's a unicorn picture on the front of the door. And we opened up the door, and there's a single bed pushed to the side and a little plush, like a net with plush toys all hanging on it. And I saw how little the room was, the single bed, the plush toys, and a dresser. And then I looked over, and the wall beside her bed had every encouragement note, all open and all pasted up there. Laura, will you be my friend? Laura, love your smile. Laura, you're a really good friend, and you play hard. And the mom said, it's changed your life. They spoke out, they had eyes to see, and they spoke out words of encouragement. Well, it wasn't too much later that Laura actually made some good friends in the youth group. And a couple years later, I got asked to go and be a part of her wedding. It was just neat to see how God had changed life because we have eyes of faith to see good things and call it out. We're specific in our encouragements, specific in our encouragements. When we say things, we just don't say, you're a good boy, you're a good girl. We have to actually tie it to real events. Stephen Glenn, a child psychologist, says this, tie encouragements to accomplishments. Try and see what you really, you know what, you're a generous person. I saw you give that away. I just saw you do this. And the more we tie encouragements to accomplishments, the better. I remember going over to a friend's house, and we're sitting there, and the little girl came down in a little ballerina thing, and she spun around and you know, danced. And you know, the dad was going, okay, great, you can go now. And so, I don't know, I can't help myself. I go, wow, I like the spinning. The spinning is good. Okay, so we got on the next point of our business as we're talking. Guess what? She came in, right? She came running back in. Guess what she did all the time? She spun. She did spinning until she fell down. But it just reminded me, right? The more I speak into things that I encourage are repeated. So there's this proverb I love, and it goes like this. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous nourish many. The lips of the righteous nourish many. If I walk away from a conversation with you, and I'm nourished, then you're actually doing the right thing. The right thing to do is to nourish other people. At the end of the day, I want to speak words of life. I want to be that person. I want to speak words of life. Imagine a church where you could come in and you're encouraged by the message. Yes, you love the worship, but could you imagine that somebody stops and speaks words of life into you? I want to speak words of life. I just want to speak words of life. Could you imagine being at a place of employment and you get things done, but every so often somebody will come and take you aside and speak words of life into you? Could you imagine being in a family and you say, oh, I did that wrong, oh man. But guess what? Like a parent would come and speak words of life. I want to speak words of life. I heard a story about the Iditarod race, and you probably heard about it too. It's up in Alaska. It's a 1,500K race, mushing dog teams, and it lasts anywhere from 8 to 20 days. That's important, 8 to 20 days. The 8-day is like a record. Somebody set the record. You have to have 14 dogs with you, and some of them have to be in tow, but it's pretty much that. And here's the deal. Here's the deal about the Iditarod. Okay, once you cross this finish line, you might be waiting there for 10 days, But every single person that has crossed the line stays to cheer the next one done. And every single person cheers everybody on through the race until everyone is done. The beautiful thing is, you can imagine this, the last person that crosses the line have more people cheering them on than the first. I want to be a person that cheers other people on. So as our worship team's getting ready, I see they're getting ready. Love it. Parents, maybe you need to write a note to your child to say, this is what I see in you. Youth leaders, maybe you can send a text right now. You know what? Here's something I've noticed. I haven't done this for a long time. I forgot. I haven't mentioned. This is an amazing thing about you. If you're a boss, maybe this is something you can make a page. You can highlight your employees. Could we just be people who speak words of life? Hey, Church on the Rock, we have a Facebook group page, and I know we do a lot of announcements, but I'm just going to say, hey, can we open it up to do some encouragements, to say, hey, if you want to encourage somebody at Church on the Rock, just throw it on our church book page and Facebook page, and just let's do it. Let's just do this message to speak words of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that our mouths are on fire, which is could be tremendous evil, but it could be tremendous good. Father, I pray that we will light torches of fire, especially with this next generation, everywhere we go. And Father, I pray that each one of us will be able to speak words of life, because I want to speak words of life. Jesus, give us the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. So I see you're eating, is that an oatmeal?
This is an oatmeal cookie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why are you eating an oatmeal cookie?
All right. So I just slightly mentioned that I love oatmeal cookies. And you know what? With this week, I had two packages of oatmeal cookies show up on my door.
That's amazing.
Yeah, encourage each other just as you do, because Church on the Rock, you're such an encouraging church.
So let me just get this straight, though. You guys had oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, because I like oatmeal cookies.
So, but like, I hear, like, mom's favorite is what is it, Rice Krispies squares? Like, so she just got the short end of it?
Yeah, she got the short end of that one.
And That's funny.
By the way, another way to encourage people is not just with words, it's with actions.
Yeah.
And that's one way Helen really does encourage so many people with actions.
She really does. Yeah. She's great with that.
Okay, awesome. What about the questions?
Okay, so question time. All right. So one of the comments that I really appreciated was from Sarah Stassen. And she said, hi, Sarah. And she said that somebody had challenged her to encourage two people a day.
Wow.
Yeah. But it encouraged her to do that. And she's done that for even her neighbor. And like wrote her neighbor
cool.
a letter. And they ended up having a great conversation. So I think that is a beautiful challenge to be encouraging people, two people a day. Like
that
would be amazing. Yeah.
One story I remember in your life too is that I know we encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I remember once in high school there was like an atheist that would make fun of you, and you went and encouraged him, and that was like. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot of things for him.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I would have a little piggy bank in my locker that was specifically for other people that I was not allowed to touch for me, but I would buy chocolate bars for other people all the time as ways to encourage them, as also a way to, like, talk about Jesus. So, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So we have a couple questions.
Okay.
Agatha asks, if you find the critical tendencies in yourself, how do you overcome them and become an encourager? So what would be that first step if you find kind of critical tendencies in yourself? And may I say, Agatha, I feel like all of us have critical tendencies.
Yeah, we all do. It, like I said, negative is easy. That's the easy part. It's the first negative things that comes up to your head or heart. And so, it's the Proverbs talks about putting a guard on your mouth. And so the negative thought comes in. Before it comes out, guard. Who goes there? You're negative. Stay in. And then you start to have to ask yourself some questions. Is this helpful for the person? And it might not. It might be, even though it's negative. But then you have to say, okay, how do I give it? And is this the best time to give it?
Because sometimes they might not be open to it right now. And since it's really about them and not about you, it's not about you getting it out. It's about helping them. So maybe it's the right time, it's the right way to be able to give out something that might not be totally positive. And then I always, Steve Brown from Arrow, he taught me this. It's so good. He always says, if you have to give something that's a little negative, a little critical, always put it in an encouragement sandwich. Mm. So it's like bread.
These are my favorite sandwiches.
Yeah, encouragement sandwiches.
Always.
And so the idea is to say something encouraging that's true, and then to give the, you know, the critical help, but then to end up with the encouragement too. So it's sandwiched amongst some encouragement.
And going back to, it's not just like, hey, you're a really great person, but you suck at all these specific things, but you're really great. Like, is that how you give it? Is that how I would give an encouragement sandwich?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, the encouragement has to be just as specific. I'm choking on my cookie.
Sorry.
Yes,
Good. Good. And I wanted to share too. This relates a bit for me. This is more for critical thinking. So less than like, oh, I'm being critical towards someone else. It's just like, man, I am being super negative in my mind right now. Just recently, I was actually sharing this with Jess this morning. Recently. A lot of you know, I just got married, and my husband and I are very similar in some things and very different on some things. And one of the ways that we're different is that he likes to throw things out and I like to keep them. So I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but I have a bit of a like, oh, but we're going to need that. Oh, but we're going to waste money if we just throw it out. And he's like, we have so much crap. Although he doesn't say crap, he says something else. He's like, we have so much crap. We don't need all this stuff. We just need to get rid of it all. And so then I can get in this negative mindset of like, he just is wasting our money. And like, and it's bad. And so this past Sabbath, I was like, okay, Jesus, there's a bit of a tension. It's not huge, but it's like, it's definitely there. So God, what do I do with this? And so I think this is why listening prayer, and we talk about this in our discipleship group.
So good. Listening prayer.
So good. Is super helpful in the like mundane parts of our lives. Because God actually cares about this stuff. And for me anyways, it was helpful because I said, Jesus, there's a tension and this is stupid. Like this is literally stupid. Why is there this tension? And so I said, God, what do I do with this? And he just said, well, just bring me each item that you're going to thinking about getting rid of. And I'll tell you whether or not to keep it or throw it out. Cause it's my money. I was like, Oh, that makes it super simple. So now anytime. And so that's just changed then my mentality towards, my husband's actually like really being helpful and clearing things out so we now have clarity in the space that we're living in. Now all of a sudden, rather than a negative mindset, my mind has totally been turned to positive because I've been able to do listening prayer and like, what do I do with this tension? So I think for me personally, I know listening prayer is helpful for negative thoughts.
It's helpful for so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, God, who do you want me to encourage today?
Yeah.
Even? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Sorry,
go.
One more question, because this is really good. Then Agita asked this, and I think this is an excellent question. How do you deal with having a critical family member who you just can't cut ties with?
Yeah, because we talked about, you know, if there's critical people that just always tear you down, then, you know, don't spend a lot of time with them. But if it's a family member, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Wow. Got it. Understand it. Yeah. And so there's sometimes when you're around somebody that's critical like that, you have to prepare your heart and soul, set your expectations that they're not going to be encouraging, to realize, okay, they're going to be better this time. No, they're not. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just set that one aside and come in to say, okay, God, you give me the strength to do this. You give me the strength to be there. And just allow the Spirit of God to speak through. God, give me the words to say. And just give me like this armor around me so the negative and critical things just bounce off. It's not true. It's not true. You are true. You believe in me, God. And then I'll just speak your encouragements. And you have to just go through that with Jesus. Yeah, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think I just add another piece of it too is praying for them.
Ooh, that's good.
Like, that's good. I think obviously if they're so caught in negativity, they're just in super negative cycles, and that's only going to take the Holy Spirit to get them out of that.
Yeah.
And so I think the preparing is huge because I've had that of like, okay, yeah. Lord, prepare me. I just got to put my armor on because they're going to be not very nice right now. But I think praying for them, recognizing that we have power because the whole, like God's given us power as sons and daughters to like for the kingdom to say, hey, God, like, could you start to do a miracle in this person's life and have low expectations, but high hopes in the spirit?
Low expectations, but high hopes?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a message. You should preach it. Awesome.
And I think that is it for, I think that's it for the questions.
That's great.
Yeah.
Just thank you so much for tuning in. And I know, I remember somebody saying that sort of watching online is like a gateway to not even be involved. I hope today blessed you. I hope it was helpful. I hope it made your spirits just soar a little bit. So thank you for continuing to log on. Thank you, too. We don't have a time of offering, so thank you for taking the initiative to be able to give. And it's just so important for our church to keep on going. So thank you for those who are continuing to do that. If you're on your way to God, if this is new to you, I hope that you find that the community of believers is a good place. It's a positive place. Mm-hmm. It's an uplifting place. And I hope that you can take your next step towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sending us out with a prayer?
I'd love to. Father, thank you so much for encouragement. God, thank you that you have given us... with your Holy Spirit, the ability to change lives through words, God. Would you encourage us this week to fuel others up with encouragement, God? Would you remind us, would you be telling us who to encourage, Lord? Would you bring names to our minds? Would you bring neighbors' names, God? Would you bring family members' names, Lord? Would we be spurring one another on towards love and good deeds and encouraging each other? And Lord, in this, especially in this time, God, there's a lot of things we can't do, but this we can. So Lord, would you just wake us up from our apathy? God, would you stir us on to one anothering each other, God, in encouragement? We just give you this week and ask you to be inspiring us to encourage each other. In your name, amen.
Have a great week, everyone.